Welcome into DGS here on a Thursday. We're without Dave again today. I know we mentioned to you guys a couple of days ago, he got a call in the middle of the show, called away to be with his mom, who obviously is in hospice, and he is still in that role. He's still kind of away tending to her needs, and obviously, you know, keep your thoughts with Dave and his family and his mom as well. You know, we all know she's 96, and you know, it's a tough time whenever you're battling with these types of things. And obviously being in hospice is something that a lot, not being in it, but, you know, having family members in hospice, something that I'm familiar with, something we're all familiar with. But obviously, Dave will be back when he is ready to go, and we'll look forward to seeing him as soon as we possibly can. Rachel here, Andrew here. Obviously, I am here. I'm no longer referring to myself in the third person, Rachel, when I do this. And I don't know why I did that, because I don't do it normally, but I don't know. It's because that's how I'm referred to on the show.
Yeah, Wheels.
And
Wheels
I say Wheels here. Wheeler's here. So, you know, like I made a conscious decision to stop doing that because it sounds weird. But we're going to be doing our normal thing. Matt Pauley's going to join us next hour. I got a big sports open line tonight focused on City. And obviously with Matt, we'll also talk some Cardinals too. They're off today. They'll get back after it tomorrow against Washington. We'll have Brad Young later on, our normal hit with Dave Murray. Mike Kehoe's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So we got a really busy show here on a Thursday. Lots of our normal fun, goofy stuff in the mix. No Ron and Amy today. They're out at the Golf Classic, and a great show, by the way, and a really interesting interview about the Cardinals' efforts with youth baseball in the city, the RBI program, and really enjoy everything about that program, and I wish it could be even bigger. Not just here, I just mean, you know, nationwide, and I know MLB's doing a lot, and I just want more. I'm greedy. I don't like spreading the word of baseball. I like when we can give opportunities to people within the sport of baseball. So, you know, we're going to be all over the place today. Some serious stuff. Some skibbity toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's in the news. I'm not going to get into it now. That's your tease for later on in the show. I feel like, you know, yesterday, because it was a weird show, and by weird, I mean short, because you just jump into the middle of it after the game. There were a couple of things that were kind of serious things that we didn't have a chance to get into. So I figure we'll start with one of those and see where everything goes from there. But I wanted to get your guys' reaction, Rach and Andrew, and I know I have my own, to what we've been hearing a lot the last couple of days. It started with the resurfacing of an older clip of J.D. Vance, essentially saying that if you don't have kids, you don't have any skin in the game, and your opinions shouldn't matter as much. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the theme. And there have been a lot of people, and maybe this is just a social media thing, so I want to be careful and not try to paint this any broader than that. But there's been quite a bit of buzz on social media from people that are on the right repeating that claim, going even further, but essentially saying if you don't have kids, you don't have skin in the game. You don't have enough skin in the game to have the same opinion as everybody else. And it seems like that strategy is not going over very well.
No.
Which you wouldn't think it would. But when you guys first heard that, how did it hit you guys?
You know, it's the kind of thing where I just feel like it's an ignorant opinion that you have to have children in order to care about this country or in order to care about the future. Unless you have kids, you're incapable of feeling the correct emotions about that. That doesn't make any sense. And it's very limiting, and it's very, it's just silly, really. And I know it's designed to make people angry.
Right.
That's the whole point. So I've, you know, tried not to get angry about it. I just more roll my eyes and go like, okay, well, that's your opinion, but it doesn't mean that your opinion is a fact.
Yeah, it's rooted in pure ignorance. It's rooted in a sort of like closed-minded thoughtlessness that is kind of a hallmark of him in particular, J.D. Vance. He said a lot of kind of boneheaded things like that in the past. What? And I think he will continue to do so.
Yeah.
that's my thoughts on J.D.
The entirety of this this thought process that's being pushed is completely nonsensical. I mean, absolutely completely nonsensical. First and foremost, there are a lot of people out there who are voters, who are engaged, who care about the future of the country, who have their own skin in the game. What about your own interest? Yes, I, as a father, I have interest in the future because of my daughter, But I also have my own interests in mind, too, mm-hmm. and the interests of my friends and family members and for, you know, people that I care about on all kinds of levels, and also just people in general. I don't have to know you to care about your well-being. And it's this assumption that this is somehow a good take. I know what they're doing, and I know who they're playing to. They're trying to play to anybody that has families, and they're trying to play to people that they think will be swayed by this kind of, see, those heathen single people, they don't care, which is insanity on so many levels. Now, this is why I think this is going to backfire on them. And I'm no political analyst, and we can run this by some of our analysts here over the next few days. But I think this plays poorly because everyone, regardless of their political ideology, has friends and family members that are grown who don't have kids of their own for one reason or another. Everyone knows someone. It's your brother. It's your sister. It's your friend. It's your aunt. Your neighbor. I mean, like, people you know and care about are in that position. And you wouldn't want their views invalidated because of that, because for a lot of people, it's not even by choice. First of all, if it's by choice, great. That's the beauty of being a human being. You can choose what you want to do with your personal life. But there are plenty. And the other part of this, and you guys know that I'm big on logic, right? Try to be consistent. Try to be logical when you're putting something out there. So you're saying that anybody that hasn't had a kid, what about the people that are going to have them 2 years from now, just haven't yet? Does your opinion not count, but in 2 years, and then it counts?
Right.
I mean, you know, I have family members. My brother didn't have his daughter until he was 40. Mm-hmm. So did his opinion not count at all until he had his kid? I mean, like, there are people that try to have children for years and years and years, and sometimes they have success, sometimes they don't. This is such an irrational, illogical thing, and I don't understand why anybody would bother continuing to even push it. The response to this, if you're J.D. Vance, should be, yeah, I said that a while back. That was really stupid. I understand that there are plenty of Americans that care just as much about the country as anybody else, whether they have kids or not. Like, I don't understand why it's so hard to just walk a simple thing back. Because you screwed up. You said something stupid. You said something that is provably untrue. Right? We have evidence all over the place that proves that you do not have to have children mm-hmm. to have a valid view on the course of this country. And by the way, there are a lot of people who share his view for the future of the country who don't have kids.
I mean, Lindsey Graham doesn't have kids. I saw someone refer to him as a childless cat lady on Twitter earlier today, and I was like, it's just fun. I mean, he kind of, you know, caught astray there because he hasn't really said anything about this, but
right.
I mean, this is a prominent Republican who's not married, who doesn't have children. Should he step down? Should he not be governing people who have kids? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
How many of the people working for the Trump Vance campaign are single adults with no kids? I'm going to guess there's at least
a couple, I'm sure.
I bet the odds are, with the sheer number of people working on it, that there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the nonsense there. Also, on a slightly less serious note, can we stop with the cat slander?
Yeah, I
agree.
Can
we stop with the cat lady slander?
I mean, thank you.
A, there's nothing wrong with human beings owning cats,
yeah.
Whether you're single or married, have kids or don't have kids. Why do we do that whole thing?
It's just to be mean. It's just to be like, oh, you don't have kids and you have a cat, therefore you're pathetic. And it's like, oh, okay, well, thanks for revealing the way you truly feel. I mean, that's me, right? I'm 32 years, I'm about to turn 33 next week.
Yeah, but we know you're not allowed to have a take now, though.
Right, no, maybe I should just turn off my mic, you know what I'm saying? Like, my opinions are completely worthless because I haven't contributed a child to this world and I can't care about America, apparently. Apparently, because I don't
have a
kid,
obviously.
And then I have a cat, which makes me extra super duper sad. So it's just like, all right, thanks a lot, J.D. Vance. You rude boy.
Oh my God! I every time we talk about these stories, I know that this is not going to be a central core thing on anybody's platform, right? This is not going to come up at a presidential debate. But the fact that there are serious people saying and doing these dumb things.
Well, it might come up in the vice presidential debate or something, because he said that, you know, that's recirculating because Kamala doesn't have kids.
Well, no, of course. And this gets back to some of what we talked about yesterday when it comes to the attacks on her. I don't understand why it's so hard to just attack someone's career or their positions on issues. And why does it have to get personal like that? You know, I mean, like, I do think there are people that get personal when it comes to, like, making fat jokes about Donald Trump. That's not helpful. That's not okay. That doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, don't attack him because he's a heavy guy. Who cares? A lot of us are heavy guys. I mean, like, that's not an unusual thing. And it's not an indication of your quality or your ability to do that particular job. But there are people that do it. There are people that make fun of his hair or whatever. That's stupid. And I don't know why we have grown-ass people in really important positions that treat this like you're teasing each other on the playground in junior high. Because that's what this is. This is. These are junior high rips. I'm waiting for your mom jokes to pop out. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how are they not? And I know that broadly speaking, we know that everybody does the things that they do. They say the things that they do to get attention, right? Like, to get your name out there, to get people buzzing, to get people that agree with you, to be more excited about being behind you. But God almighty, it's just such a tedious, childish thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go after Kamala or Donald Trump, there's plenty to go after on either one of them for the jobs that they've done, for the positions that they hold, for the things that they've done, like real things that they've done, not just choices that you've made. I mean, like, and I don't get the double standard either. I mean, you can't attack one person for one thing, for a thing, and then not apply that standard to the other person because you plan on voting for that other person. But that's where we sit. That's the disingenuous thing that we're dealing with right now. But it's partly why when we had Bill Igel on, I asked him about that. Just the idea that we're always trying to create animosity between the two sets of voters, which is essentially what we have. I mean, there are a small percentage of people that tend to be what we call the swing voters, right? The people in the middle that do go back and forth. I think the majority of us are actually closer to the middle than the fringes,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if there were three parties, if there was one that was kind of halfway of each party that was as well funded and as prominent as these other two, that would be the one that had the most people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there are a lot more of us that are like, yeah, I can see a lot of what my neighbor sees that's different from me. I can see that. We can have a conversation about that. We can figure that out. But it's just become bomb throwing and name calling. And it's just junior high, you know, 12, 13 year old boy stuff. Well, I shouldn't just limit it to the boys. 12, 13 year old girls can be nasty, too. I'm just around the 13 and 14 year olds and I hear it all the time, man. And it sounds just like presidential politics. All right, so since we were talking about really dumb ideas in the last segment, Andrew, why do you think you're getting dumber?
I don't know. Well, I can't spell anymore.
Now,
I used to be able to spell.
You make spelling mistakes and you catch them, or is it you look at a word and you're trying to type and you're like, it just doesn't look right even though I know it's right?
Both, I guess. Yeah. Like, dumb mistakes, you know what I mean? And then I used to be so good at spelling and I...
You won the spelling bee.
I was going to say, weren't you a spelling beer?
I was a spelling bee champion.
I was too for a while.
My vocabulary is getting...
I'm smelling a challenge here.
Let's go, Andrew.
What's this now?
We'd have to do a spell down.
When were you a spelling bee champion?
Like 7th or 8th grade.
Oh, so Andrew could have beat you when he was in 2nd grade, apparently.
Probably.
I think it's so interesting that Kevin is allowed to say that and nobody jumps all over him about how he must be lying.
No way he's not telling
the truth.
It's the fact that you say you beat 8th graders when you were in 2nd grade.
I think that's more the opposition.
Okay, and that's fine, but it's got people looking at you a little sideways.
That's why, though. If you just said, like, I won the 2nd grade one and I was awesome, I think people would have been like, good for you, buddy.
But a school-wide like spelling bee at the age of 7.
That sounded terrible when I said that. No, I did it 8th. Yeah, but keep in mind, this is my spelling bee success. I won for my grade, my class, which had a total of 20 people. So, you know, dominated that and then went to whatever the next level was.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what round it was, but like near the end, I lost, and I lost on the word Viscount.
V-I-S-C-O-U-N-T.
Yeah, that's what I left out, the S. Mm-hmm. I was a stupid eighth grader.
It's silent.
Or seventh grader, whatever I was.
At my Christian school, we didn't really have a school-wide spelling bee, but we did have a school-wide Bible verse memory competition.
Yeah.
Where basically you had to go up there and be like, this is the verse I'm saying, and then you had to say it word for word.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I'm pretty sure it was every grade, and I didn't win, but I got pretty close.
Yeah.
But it was tough because you'd be like,
that's a lot of memorization.
Yeah, and you'd be like, oh, I've got a verse in my head. But then someone would do it before you. So people were memorizing like short, obscure verses that were easy to remember.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That would have been my game right there.
Now, there are a lot of different translations of the Bible.
This was King James Version.
Okay. I'm sure they all agreed upon.
Yeah.
You know, okay. They had an agreed upon text. You know what my game would have been on that? Mm. My play would have been, like you're talking about, all the short ones, but I would have memorized one really long one.
Yeah.
Just to be like the show off.
Yeah.
Like, see what I did? And then every other one would be like four words.
The rest are like, Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Verily was Jesus sad.
But you don't actually think you're getting dumber, right?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I kind of do too. Yeah, not really? You, me. I think I'm getting dumber.
Right, Andrew, I agree. You are getting dumber.
You know, I've noticed Andrew's going downhill.
I've also noticed some tragic decline.
No, I just think it's like I'm on the internet too much. And like you said, with spell, like, I rely on spell check too much. I was composing a tweet earlier and it didn't underline a word I had misspelled, and I did catch it, but I was like, oh, that's a little troubling.
That's
that
a
it
bad
took
miss
me a
by
second.
Your spell check.
Yeah, but I'm just so like reliant on that stuff at this point.
Same.
If you took it away, it would be really bad.
I start using like dumb, like, I don't know, like slang or whatever that I hear that I think is really stupid. I'll start using it ironically, and then it will like seamlessly, before my very eyes, It'll become a regular part of my actual vocabulary.
Yeah.
I'll start saying it unironically.
Okay. I see. I think we are all getting smarter because we learn things every day now that we would not have learned 10 years ago or 15 years ago because there's just more out there that you can see. I've learned things on TikTok that I didn't know. And I'm like, is that real or is that just a TikToker? And then I look it up, I'm like, holy crap, that's real. That's interesting. And I do think that our common like usage things like spelling, probably some math things, we're getting worse at because we don't have to do them.
We have so many tools that just do it for us.
Yeah, but that's not dumber. That to me, that's working smarter. Mm. Use the tools you got. Why push that thing yourself when you can have the horse do it?
It's a positive mindset.
Yeah.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, you're back in on DGS here on a Thursday. Obviously, we've been telling you for a couple of days now. Dave left the other evening, a little bit more than halfway through the show on Tuesday. He was out yesterday, out today. He just texted us. So he's been out. Obviously, his mom has been in hospice for months. We know, you know, he's been really open and explaining the story, you know, after the fall, going through all the different stages of medical treatment and surgery, and then eventually landing in a longer-term care facility where she's been in hospice. But he just texted us a few minutes ago, Rach, just to kind of let us know, and he did want us to share it with all of our listeners.
Yeah, Dave wanted everybody to know that Mrs. Glover will possibly be gone soon, maybe within the next couple of days.
So hard to say that.
It's really hard to say because she's such an incredible person and such a sweet lady. And I know how much she means to Dave and how much he means to her. But he did want everyone to know that he's with her and she's very comfortable. And yeah, I mean, they're doing the best that they can. Yeah. It's incredibly sad. And we just wish the Glover family the absolute best. We love them and, you know, hate to see this happen, but please keep Dave and his family in your thoughts and prayers. I've been fortunate enough to meet Mrs. Glover on several occasions. And I remember the first time we met her, Andrew, was at a Hardee's. Mm-hmm. It was during one of our Operation Food Search campaigns. And she had gotten out of the house with her friend Linda. Linda mm-hmm. brought her up to the remote that we were doing. And she is so tiny and so adorable.
Yeah.
And whenever I gave her a hug, I could not believe how tight she squeezed me. Like, she was just so great. And we have pictures from that day, and I'll just never forget meeting her, and then getting to meet her a couple times after that with the show has been really incredible. And I know Andrew has helped out in that situation too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you've popped over there a bunch of times. You know, you guys don't live
yeah,
too far from there.
We don't live too far from there. So we went over there and, you know, we'd clean the house or whatever and just spend some time with old Frances. We loved her.
Yeah, I mean,
she and Megan got along very, very well.
Oh, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel terrible because I never got to meet. You know, I never had a chance to meet her since coming on the show. But seeing the videos that Dave would always mm-hmm. he's great about that. Like over the time, and he said because we have our little group chat, and it would be just a little video of you know, maybe him and Nick over at the house and getting a cheeseburger or something like that. It's really cool when he sends those videos. And I'm glad that he's able to do this way too, because as hard as all of this is. You know, there's nothing easy about anything, you know, at the end of life. I mean, no matter what the circumstance is, it's always going to be hard. And I'm glad he's able to do it this way.
Yeah.
As opposed to a surprise or as opposed to being here, you know, when it gets to the point where it's, you know, it's about to be the end. So he gets to be with her. They're playing music. They're together. He has family too, by the way. Dave's not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got, I mean, Nick and Phoebe have been there, and he's got some other family members that have come into town too. So he just wanted us to let everybody know. And, you know, there's just no easy way to discuss any of it. There's no,
right.
There's no getting around it. You know, it's tough.
It is tough. And, you know, Dave talks about his mom on the show all the time.
I mean, she's a character on the
show. She's a character on the show. And
I knew about her, and I knew the stories from listening before I knew you guys at all.
Oh, that's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
One thing is I got the interview, Tony and I got the interview, got the opportunity to interview her whenever it was Dave's 20-year anniversary on the show.
Oh,
and
okay.
She's just so sweet. It's such a great interview. We should replay it or something because it's so nice. But it's just so apparent how close they are and how much love there is there. And I'm just so glad that Dave is able to be with her now. So.
Yeah. And, you know, he appreciates everybody. I know when he's back, he'll be back when, you know, we keep telling him, come back when it's good for you.
Right.
To come back. I mean, and if that's soon, you know, look, everybody's different. Some people want to get back to normal. Some people, you know, being around your friends and talking to you. And, you know, I know Dave views the listeners and the group. I mean, this show probably has the most loyal, long-standing group of listeners, as evidenced by the podcast numbers and the number of people that show up for DGS Lives. I mean, those things blow me away. As the newbie on the show, and he appreciates everybody's thoughts on this and everybody's prayers, and we will obviously keep you posted. And when Dave is back, obviously he'll let you know how he's doing. All right, it's Thursday on DGS. Obviously, Dave out. We explained his current circumstance in the last segment. Looks like it's getting to be that time, so he's at the hospice with his mom, and we'll give you updates. And obviously, when he comes back, I'm sure he'll have a lot of stories to tell. And you know, he likes to include all the listeners. I don't even like to call them listeners because I mean, obviously, it's a much tighter group than just people listening to a mm-hmm. radio show. And Dave really appreciates that connection, and I know the rest of us do as well. But obviously, you know, we're going to continue on with the normal DGS here today as much as we can. And we got Matt Pauly coming up after the top of the hour. There's a big city-themed sports open line tonight out on remote. You'll be able to go out and visit, and we'll have Matt give us all the details on that. And we'll talk some Cardinals there, too. Brad Young later on. Dave Murray, of course, in his normal spot. And Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe also in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll be very busy. Why don't we just do a little throwback here, Rach, since it's Thursday?
Absolutely. It's time for Throwback Thursday. And 72 years ago in 1952, Puerto Rico became a self-governing commonwealth of the United States. You guys ever been?
Puerto Rico? No. Mm-hmm. Never left the country.
What about you, Wheels?
No, almost. Almost went there for baseball when I was a kid. We lost out on the chance to go there.
That would have been cool.
No, yeah, but never have been. And it looks like a cool place to go visit. Like, I mean, it's, you know, all of the Caribbean seems cool to me, though. You know, I mean, I getting down there into the beaches and the warm, you know, warm temperatures. You could pretty much convince me to go to any one of them. But I don't know why it seems like it that should have been longer in the past.
Yeah.
Like the 1950s feels too close.
Yeah, especially 58.
Like my parents were alive when that happened. You know, that's crazy.
58 years ago in 1966, You Can't Hurry Love by the Supremes was released. I loved that song. I mean, I still love that song, but I remember listening to 103.3 KLOU, the oldies, whenever I was growing up, and just like all of the Supremes music was just my favorite.
I grew up nonstop Motown, obviously.
Yeah.
Growing up in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody that likes Phil Collins. I didn't like his version.
I don't know if I know his version.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever heard it.
That's good. Kevin's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I totally admit it, but I'm only judging it based on its predecessor, not based on its own value.
What about the Slipknot version? Do you like that?
It's much better.
Yeah.
Like I say, I tell you guys all the time, everything is better with three more drummers, two more guitarists.
That's too many drums.
A DJ and...
A lot of drums, man.
Yeah, yeah.
DJ...
Yeah.
What's he doing?
So there's nine guys.
They got three drums.
There's nine guys in my favorite band, right?
Okay.
There's a main drummer. There's two other dudes that are percussionists / drummers, and they have big bongos and like empty kegs that they bang on during the songs and all that stuff. So there's two more of those. And then you got a bass guitar. You've got a lead guitar. You got another lead guitar. You got a DJ. You've got a keyboardist. And then you got a singer.
Have you ever seen Stomp?
Sounds awful.
I have seen videos.
It seems like something you might.
It's like Stomp. Yeah, it's Stomp with more guitars. I'm down with that. That's what that is.
Also, you can't have two lead guitars. That's
yeah, but they share it though.
I'm the
number one guitarist, and I am also the number
like
one.
That makes no sense.
No, that's not true. They play equal parts, and that's been the case in a lot of bands.
Then they're just guitarists. Then they're not lead guitarists.
They're co-lead guitarists. Two people can be in the lead.
Come on.
I don't even know if they define it that way. It was just how I said it. I just said it that way.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Stomp.
I think they did that back in the day, like in the 80s. They would always like you have two lead guitarists because neither wanted to defer to the other.
Right. Neither would admit the other.
And I saw
was the lead.
And back in the day, because I'm a stupid hair band guy too from the 80s and early 90s, but Whitesnake had two lead guitarists. That they build them that way because neither wanted to take second chair. Steve Vai, who we had on the show.
It doesn't necessarily mean that one's like.
It doesn't matter.
The
you know,
king
egos
of guitarists.
Are.
It's just.
No,
it's just the different parts that they play.
It's music. In that time, it mattered. In that time, in that world, that mattered.
Sounds to you like it matters now.
Yeah. Just keep playing loud. I'm good.
44 years ago in 1980, Caddyshack was released.
Oh, today? Or is it today?
Yeah, 44 years ago today, 1980.
That movie, that was probably the
first. If it wasn't today, Kevin does not want to talk about
it. No, that I don't know why I said that, because duh, it's the whole point of it being Throwback Thursday. That was a total derp. That was probably the first like R-rated offensive movie I ever saw.
Oh, yeah?
Probably the first movie I ever saw that had a little bit of nudity, some swearing, some, you know, a lot of raunchy jokes. That's probably the first one. I was 8 years old when it came out. I don't think I saw it when it first came out, but I saw it when it came out on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And I was allowed to watch it.
Whoa.
My parents let me watch it with them when we watched it. That's what was stood out to me. So I was probably maybe 10 by the time we did that.
They're thinking it's a golf movie. How dirty can it be?
They had seen it before.
Oh, okay.
My dad had seen it. He just thought because it's a comedy, it was fine.
44 years ago in 1980, AC/DC released their seventh album, Back in Black, with Shoot to Thrill, You Shook Me All Night Long, Back in Black, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, and Hell's Bells.
Yeah, that's a great record. Definitely, that's one of my first ones, too. That's one of my first like rock records right there. It was good. AC/DC's, I know the joke is their songs sound the same, and they kind of do, but that's why they're good.
They just have a vibe. It's the AC/DC vibe.
They're a fun band.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never really got too serious. It was always fun.
That's why it's fine that it all sounds the same.
Yeah.
34 years ago in 1990. That doesn't sound right, does it, Andrew?
How many?
34,
no, it doesn't.
34
but that's
years
when you guys
ago,
were born.
I know. It's like
that's the year I was born.
Wait,
21 years ago
90?
In 1990. No, I was 91.
I
was 90.
You were 90. I graduated high school in 90.
14 years ago in 1991. No, I'm just kidding. 34 years ago in 1990, Roseanne butchered the Star Spangled Banner at a San Diego Padres game. She was booed. Do you remember this, Wheels?
It was the worst. Yeah, I was. So, I mean, I wasn't in radio at the time yet. I mean, obviously, you said it was 1990, right? So
yes.
I was a college kid. But yeah, it was a big deal. Anybody those of us that live in the baseball world, that was a big deal.
Was it the kind of thing where they were showing it on the news and stuff?
It was on SportsCenter all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't, because obviously it wasn't the same 24-hour news cycle that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for those of us that were big sports fans, it was all over ESPN nonstop on SportsCenter. And SportsCenter used to be the show that every sports dude watched every day, either, you know, in the evening, like you would your evening news, or at night, especially at the end of the day, to see what happened in all the games.
27 years ago in 1997, again, just doesn't sound right, Air Force One was released, starring Harrison Ford as the president.
Get off my plane!
I was talking to somebody the other day about
that movie.
Was that that movie, or was that a different movie?
I thought it was Air Force One, because he's the president, and he tells the guy to get off his plane.
I didn't know if it was Con Air.
No, that's not Con Air. No,
I think it was Airplane.
Which, by the way, Con Air, better movie than Air Force One.
Yeah.
The other day I was talking to someone about who the best casting to play President Biden would be, and I suggested Harrison Ford. Like, in his later years.
I mean, Harrison Ford's older, I think, than
right.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, which is why it's like, okay,
right?
Is
that
an
real?
Old guy playing an old guy.
I didn't think so.
I think he is.
I thought Harrison was in his 70s. I could be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I think he's 82. He's older than Joe.
He's older than Joe.
Remember when he like almost crashed that plane?
Yes.
That was
bad. He did crash that plane.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he crashed.
Oh, that's right, he did. But
and then
didn't.
He had another near miss.
He wasn't seriously injured, but he definitely crashed.
Yeah.
25 years ago in 1999, Woodstock 99 Music Festival in Rome, New York, ended in fires, looting, and multiple assaults.
Did you guys watch that documentary?
I did. It was very disturbing.
It is. It is like, it is the worst of the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was a good way to wrap up the 90s, because it encapsulated a lot about that decade and the way people were. Well, and the way that young generation was, which was my generation. Because, I mean, it's hard to describe. If you haven't seen I forget what the documentary was called. Was it just Woodstock 99?
It's on HBO,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It's a great documentary if you don't mind being disturbed. Because there was all kinds of like sexual assaults that happened at this thing, and they didn't handle anything well. They didn't have enough water for people. There wasn't the food was really expensive. There were people that were like passing out because it was super hot. Like, they just did nothing right when it came to logistics or security or anything like that. And then obviously you had the wildest bands in the world at the time,
provoking people.
So you
basically.
Like Limp Bizkit had it going crazy. Mm-hmm. They were the worst, I think, because they were egging people on to do like shaking the light, the audio tower that almost fell down on people. The corn set was insane. Like, people were it was legit chaos. Like probably one of the worst concert experiences you could ever envision, even if you do like the music.